magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, July 8th, 2019. After we finished praying, I thought we have the power of 3M.
3M?
Mike, Mark, and Mary.
Oh, my. Okay.
Actually, you prayed. You said something, you know, thank you, God, for Mike, for Mark, and for me. And I thought, oh, wow, 3 M's. I was almost going to interrupt your prayer. And then I thought, hey, Mary Ann, we do have the 3 M's here. So,
well, that's an interesting insight.
Yeah, on Memorization Monday, so we're
oh,
filled
my
with
word.
M's.
All M's.
Mike, Mark, and Mary Ann on Memorization Monday. So
your poet didn't know it.
For joining us. We're in for a really good verse. I can't wait to share this with you all. It's 1 John 5:11. We'll talk about it. Our special guest is Mike McQueen, but traditionally it's actually pronounced McQueen.
No.
We have a Scottish among us. A Scotman? A Scot?
A Scot.
A Scot.
Oh, yes. Oh, dear. Mike knows all things Scottish.
Yeah, in fact, we've been talking about some of your research and your PhD studies and your ministries with the Chinese. So I have a lot of great questions for you in just a minute. But let me cover our memorization verse for the week. It's the 19th week. We've done this together, everyone.
Wow.
So how are you doing? Did you get a chance to review some of it during this 4th of July weekend?
Yeah, lots of time on people's hands, huh?
Yeah. Memory.
When's that potluck going to happen?
Yeah, I know. I got to get around to that. Get the special speaker in for everyone. But this week's verse. It's a good one. They're all good ones, but I especially like this. It's 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Capital S, S-O-N, the Lord Jesus Christ. The life is in his Son. So let me say it again, 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And we'll read a couple pages out of 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart by Robert J. Morgan. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or missed one of the past 18 others, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. Take it from here, Mary Ann.
Take it away. Okay. This is the 19th. 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. As a college sophomore, I was mentored by an upperclassman who gave me these two verses, 1 John 5:11 and 12, to memorize. He called them two of the best verses in the Bible about assurance of salvation. As long as I knew these verses, he said, I'd never doubt being saved. I've come back to them many times, and I'm thankful for what's not in them. There is no, maybe, if, might, or hope so. This is the testimony. This is what God himself has declared as truth. This is the record. These are the facts. He has. It's already done. This has been irrevocably accomplished. He has given us. It's not just a generic promise that he has given eternal life. It includes that personal pronoun, us. And us include you and me.
A big AM, everyone. Shout
Amen.
It out. Amen.
He has given us eternal life. While the whole Bible teaches that God is eternal and he bestows everlasting life on his children, it's John who is the apostle of eternal life. He used the phrase 23 times in his writing. Hmm. And this life is in his Son. Jesus not only gives us life, he is the source and creator of life. And yet, paradox of the ages, he died to conquer death. And because he lives, we live also. And then here's some of the scriptures from John on eternal life. Everyone who believes on him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16.
Amen.
The one who believes in the Son has eternal life. John 3:36.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. John 5:24. I assure you, anyone who believes has eternal life. John 6:47. Lord, who will we go to? You have the words of eternal life. John 6:68. I gave them eternal life, and they will never perish. John 10:28. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you've sent, Jesus Christ. John 17:3. We declare to you the eternal life. 1 John 1:2. And this is the promise that he himself made to us, eternal life. 1 John 2:25. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 1 John 5:11. That's our verse. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13.
I'm throwing down the gauntlet. It looks like we all need to be reading John today, or 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the writings of John about eternal life in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I'll take that gauntlet. And here's a quote from Samuel Rutherford. He was a Scottish minister in the 1600s.
Oh, isn't that interesting that we have a Scotman among us?
Yeah, I read that, and I looked up who he was, and he was the Scottish minister, and it says he was a covenanter. And I thought, Mike's going to be here this morning. I'll just ask him, what's a covenanter? Do you know?
Kind of, but I don't want to embarrass everybody who's good in history by giving my interpretation.
Okay, this is a quote from Samuel Rutherford, Scottish minister in the 1600s. Our hope is not hung upon such an untwisted thread as, I imagine so, or it is likely, but the cable, the strong toe of our fastened anchor, is the oath and promise of him who is eternal verity. Our salvation is fastened with God's own hand and with Christ's own strength to the strong stake of God's unchangeable nature. Samuel Rutherford.
Wow, that's like an Oswald Chambers quote. It's like, oh, wow, we could dissect that for a long time.
I would preach on that.
A lot of information. Well, thank you for joining us, Mike. And I know you're a missionary to the Chinese locally and actually throughout the state of Illinois. I think also like Peoria and some other towns you mentioned. You serve with the Urbana Seminary.
Yes.
And we'll maybe get an update at the end of the program about the work. And I know they're starting to register people for fall classes. I know you currently attend the Stratford Park Bible Chapel. A shout out for Ken Raymond, good man over there, good
Indeed.
Pastor.
Yes.
You've been married to lovely Gwen 43 years, and I think you actually said 517 months. And Marianne says, how do you keep track of the months?
Did you just add that up right now?
Yeah. Did you have a class last night and you shared it with everyone? And you said, no. Is it the 23rd?
23rd of every month, we have tried to do something special. Keeps our relationship fresh. If she's been able to put up with me for 43 years, you know it must have worked.
Wow.
Month by month.
That's right.
You've completed a doctoral dissertation, and we'll maybe talk a little about that. But here's something I'm going to throw out, and then I'm going to let you run with it. You have some strong feelings about the idea and concept of grace.
Mm-hmm.
You have some quotes that you've shared with us that bear sharing with our listeners. You mentioned a book called With... And that sounds like it's a real fascinating study and something that I think our listeners could benefit by. And just the various worldviews that people have. And then your testimony. So if you can fit all that in 13 minutes or so, I think our listeners will really glean some good truths.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you asked me to consider this verse, the first thing I focused on was this whole concept of eternal life. And I grew up in a church. I'm sure the gospel was probably preached on a regular basis, but either because of my spiritual deafness or blindness or just being a kid growing up, it didn't soak in.
Yeah.
So I was a good kid. I thought, you know, if I do what's good and, you know, I'll be acceptable to God for that. And then I went to college. And as many do when they go to college, they get away from church. They get away from things that they've been taught as a child. And I joined a fraternity. And if you know anything about fraternity life, you know that it's not particularly Christian friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I basically just abandoned my faith for 2.5 years. One of my fraternity brothers became a follower of Jesus my junior year and began to talk with me about what it really meant to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And he talked about having a relationship with God. And I go, wait a minute, what's that all about? And he began to talk about things like eternal life being something other than just living forever. And I was intrigued, and I began to listen. I still remember John 17:3, which Marianne read just a few minutes ago, that Jesus said, and this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And I began to see that eternal life is not just a quantity, I mean, everybody wants to live forever, but it was a quality of life that was lived in relationship with Jesus.
In the here and now.
In the here and now. It starts, mm-hmm. you know, when you make that commitment to follow Christ. And he shared with me Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one should boast. Mm-hmm. And it was like the Lord turned on the light bulb, and I could see it for the first time. And Kurt asked me if I wanted to invite Christ into my life as my Lord and Savior, and I said, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's where I came from. And all the stuff that I had learned as a child in church made sense, began to make more sense as time went along.
Many people will say that, like the light bulb turns on when they receive Jesus, ask Christ into their heart, and it seems like the Holy Spirit begins this work of transforming things that they had learned, or as they read the scripture mm-hmm. now, they have new lenses, if you will, where it makes sense, and, oh, I understand that now, and mm-hmm. and that's that supernatural work, I think, that God does as that process of sanctification begins to take place. We have new eyes, new lenses, we start seeing things, and he speaks to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so basically, I had been planning on going to medical school when I graduated from college. I thought that's what I was going to do, that was the Lord's plan for me. Now that I'm a follower of Jesus, I'll be the best doctor I can for Jesus. And nothing wrong with that. We need lots of good Christian doctors. But I began to realize over the course of the next 6-7 months that there were a lot of people like me, people that had grown up in church. They thought they were Christians, but they didn't really know Jesus. And I began to realize there are a lot of people who are like me in that they were hellraisers, and they needed to hear the gospel. And so the Lord began to direct me away from my desire to go to medical school to where I wanted to be in full-time Christian service. So I have been at it almost 40 years now.
Now, when did Gwen enter the picture? Did you meet her? And were you attending college here at the University of Illinois?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're locally grown.
Yeah, I grew up down in Newman, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And my wife grew up here in Champaign. And we met on the first day of spring semester in 1975. It was not springish. It was very, very cold that day.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And a mutual friend introduced us. She was wearing one of those old snorkel parkas. Do you remember those things? I could see about, you know,
that's funny,
5 inches of her face through this thing, and she looked more like a polar bear than a human
being.
And but when she reintroduced herself to me later,
did you recognize her?
I did not.
Without the gear.
Yeah. But we began to date. And
now, was she a believer at this
time? She was.
Okay. And where were you on your faith journey when you're meeting?
Well, I'd been a Christian about a year and a half at the time. She came to faith when she was a freshman.
Okay.
So she was ahead of me. It was kind of an interfaith dating relationship, mm-hmm. though. I was with Campus Crusade, and she was with the Navigators.
Oh.
it raised some eyebrows in certain circles. But anyway, we ended up deciding that it would be a good thing for us to team up and do ministry together. So we've been doing it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And now 43 years
43
removed,
years,
would I be better off to say 517 months later?
Yeah. Either's fine. We're coming up on 518 now. So.
Okay. Wow.
Wow. Well, you know what? I'm already thinking. I'm looking at the clock, and I don't know if you're available tomorrow again for Testimony Tuesday, but there's a lot of topics I'd love to talk mm-hmm. about. Some of your research and your sharing with the Chinese students locally and throughout Illinois, and your passion for the Urbana Seminary. But let's talk about this verse a little more, and then if we can have you back tomorrow for
sure.
Testimony Tuesday, I think we're in for a real treat. But this 1 John 5:11, it says, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Now, there might be a skeptic, maybe an unchurched individual tuning in, you know, scanning the dial, and they're like, eternal life? What's eternal life? So break that down for us. What is eternal life? When us Christians, we talk about eternal life, what are we talking about?
Well, I mean, most people, when they hear eternal life, as I mentioned earlier, they think in terms of a quantity of living forever. You know, no one wants to die, and no one wants to face judgment if indeed they're thinking that way, or thinking of annihilation if they're not. And so it does include living forever. Mm-hmm. But as Jesus said in John 17:3, it's a quality of life that involves truly knowing him. You know, that verse talks about that life is in his Son. we have eternal life, not because of anything intrinsic in us, mm-hmm. but because of who he is. And so as we think about the idea of eternal life, we have to keep in mind that it's in relationship to him, it's from him, it can't be apart from him. And I talk with a lot of students. I talk with Americans as well as Chinese. And, you know, so many of them, they want to go to heaven. And eternal life is to be found in heaven. But heaven is not a goal in and of itself. And I sometimes ask people, I say, why is it that you want to go to heaven to be in relationship with a God that you have no interest in on earth?
Good question.
And, you know, a lot of times I get some thoughtful response,
yeah.
and people begin to consider, you know, what it really means to have a relationship with God. And a lot of times people just poo-poo the whole thing and say, go on. So I think it's important that when we think about eternal life, if you go to Matthew 19 in the parable of the rich young man, he comes to Jesus and asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus explains to him, and he goes away sadly. And Jesus' response then is, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus evidently is making eternal life in the kingdom of God parallel, if not synonymous. And then the disciples go, well, who then can be saved? And so there's a sense in which this idea of salvation only takes place when you submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ and you become part of the kingdom at that point in time. So those go together. So when I think of eternal life, I think of all those things rolled up into this package that is essential if we're really going to experience the blessing of eternal life now, which when you become a follower of Jesus, you get that.
Yeah. And you can
really
live
good.
In that peace and that knowledge and that realization
exactly.
that God will work in and through you this very day. He hears our prayers. He wants to commune. He wants to relate. He wants to be with us. It reminds me of this book that you referred to earlier called With.
Yes.
And, you know, many of us Christians, you know, we get so busy in the activities of God, even like the parable Jesus gives of the Good Samaritan. You know, the Pharisees about the Lord's work, so he zips to the temple. You know, across the street from this person in need. Then the Levite, you know, the same kind of thing. Yep. He's about, if you will, the Lord's work. He's busy to get to the temple and passes by the individual that's been robbed and beaten and is laid, harmed on the side of the road. And then the Samaritan, he's the one that really kind of does the work of God, stops and pauses. And so many times we as Christians can be so busy doing the Lord's work, if you will, we miss out on the opportunity to not only do God's work, but we miss out on spending time with God. And it was interesting, you shared a little of what you gleaned out of that book. And how did that go again?
Sky Chathani wrote this book in 2011. And I just became acquainted with it about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I read it, and then I reread it. And I go, wow, this is really a great book. Maybe one of the best books I've read in my life. We talk about having a relationship with God, but we find that oftentimes it comes with a different permutation. We move to a specific area, which isn't wrong in and of itself, but if we are not doing it with God, it creates problems. And so Chathani says that the 4 ways in which we relate to God are over God, under God, and we do things for God or receive from God, but we miss out on being with God in the process.
So wait, quickly. Over, under,
for, and from.
For and from. Okay.
Yeah. So he develops why each one of those ways are in error, and then he goes on in the second half of the book and explains what it really means to be with God and why, or how rather, each one of these other ways can actually come into that relationship with God and be something which is good rather than something which actually takes us away from God. And
that
I just,
sounds really good.
Yeah, no, it was an excellent book, and I'm telling everybody you should read this.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So it's called With, and who's the author?
Sky Chathani, J-E-T-H-A-N-I.
Chathani.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if he would be available for an interview. You know, Marianne, this past weekend, I was sending you all these potential interviews down the road and people we'd like to meet up with. But
for sure.
What a great... I think Pastor Jason Schiffel must have read this because he referred in a message series about how oftentimes we're not with God because we're busy trying to receive things from him or doing things for him, like trying to work our way into the kingdom, which never works, or we're kind of under his authority, so we're like obeying and trying to follow follow all the rules or...
And that can be burdensome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, we're going to have you back for Testimony Tuesday. Lord willing, we'll get you back here in the studio and to share a little more of your life journey and your ministry work with the Chinese and how you've been doing that for a number of years and your affiliation with the Urbana Seminary. I know come August, they're going to have an ad in the Prime Life Times, again, encouraging people to sign up for fall classes. And mm-hmm. we highly recommend the seminary and the great work that they're doing. And your role there, what's your position with the seminary? I know you teach.
I'm an assistant professor of intercultural studies.
Okay, great, great. Well, we'll learn about that tomorrow.
Yeah, I just wanted to say in regards to this section that we just read about inner peace and security assurance, that's what all these next few scriptures are going to be. I just happened to hear Wednesday Erwin Lutzer has on his program, Running to Win, this very subject going.
Wow.
Exactly. Exactly this subject.
The assurance.
Yeah, yeah. All of last week and I think probably this coming week.
And security. So. Well, it's all found in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what a privilege that we get to follow Him, surrender to Him, worship Him, be befriended by Him. It's all a part of God's plan, that salvation, that it's a free gift extended to us all that we can receive as we confess our sins and recognize it's only through Jesus and His completed, finished work on our behalf that we're assured salvation. Wow, what a great gift. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you, God, for Mike mm-hmm. and Marianne and this radio broadcast. Hope you've been blessed today. Again, we're doing 1 John 5:11 together, everyone. That's our verse for the week. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Mike McQueen with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
It's time to change our ways. Sing out with joy and praise. His Son died for our sins. Why commit them all again? We're all called to serve, though not one of us deserves. No, we are not our own. Many times our God has shown that we were bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. He paid the highest price, and as His people, He'll lead us. So let's stop drifting around. And remember, we were bought when Jesus died. So let's rejoice and sing.